It is good to see you here. And the Lord's laid a message on my heart. These recent weeks, I've really been putting questions before our congregation. And I believe we're in a season where the Holy Spirit's telling us that if we posture our hearts and position ourselves and really do the dying that we need to do so that we can become more fully alive to Christ, then we're going to see some incredible waves of God's glory rolling into our region and across our state. And, you know, even here in Florence, we've had a really strong word concerning our state that what God wants to do in the state of Alabama has to be demonstrated in Florence. That was a word from Chuck Pierce last October for this year. And so really been praying into that. Lord, what does that look like? Because it also, part of that word he had back in last fall also was dealing with the smell of death would be upon unbelievers in this area, but that would be a fragrance to those that obey the Lord and believe. In other words, as we put to death the things in our life that are hindering us from stepping fully into what God has for us, that's a fragrance to us. That means Christ is manifesting more in our life. But people without the Lord, they live in death. They are dead in trespasses and sins. So we're wanting to see God's glory begin to break out in massive moves of salvations, deliverances, and healing. So I've asked you the question, where are we in time? And we looked at that from a biblical perspective. Then I ask you, are you being changed by the God who doesn't change? Last week I asked you, do you have kingdom vision? And we're kind of narrowing the field here. And so today the question is, got a big decision to make. And today's teaching is really about decision making. Have you got a big decision to make? Most of us in our life, there are crossroad moments where we have to make really big decisions. And do you know how you can make good big decisions? By getting good at making small decisions. And no decision that's not tethered to the will of God is not going to be what it ought to be in your life. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 tells us that we're to build our life on the rock. And He is the rock. He is Christ. And the foundation of a home means that which supports everything else. It holds everything else up. It holds everything else in place. In our life, we must build our lives on Christ. Everything must rest on that. Every decision. Again, it's not a pie chart type of Christianity where Jesus gets a piece of the pie and your job gets a piece of the pie and your family gets a piece of the pie. Listen, everything must rest on Christ. So for us to see the fulfillment of God's plans, because a lot of times we probably maybe almost over-personalize it. What is God's plan for my life? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the bigger picture view is, how does my life fit into God's plan? And so our decision-making should reflect that. If that's what we value, if that's what we prioritize, and if we know that's how we're called to build our lives, then everything needs to rest on that. Your walk with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do to begin with this morning, I'm going to share a few scriptures with you just to build on this message. And there will be some other scriptures that I'll be sharing. But I'm going to be sharing with you, and we're going to move through this hopefully fairly quickly. I want to share with you five words of advice about making big decisions. Making any decision, really. Okay? Now, the first scripture is in John chapter 16. Jesus is teaching his disciples. It's the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. He's about to cross the goal line, so to speak, and go to the cross. That's why he came. And he's giving his disciples last-minute instructions. And he tells them, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. That's so important to realize that there's so much the Lord could tell you this morning and tell me this morning that we really need to know. But He knows if we can handle it. He knows if we'll receive it. He knows if we'll apply it. And so Jesus, this is last minute instructions, if you will, before He dies. He said, I've got a lot I want to share with you, but you can't handle it. You can't bear it right now. We had to have wisdom even in raising our kids and knowing what they can handle at certain ages. And you can't throw upon your children to make adult decisions. The world knows better than that. That's the reason they don't let your child get their driver's license at 5 years of age. You know, this is Jesus is saying, what I share with you at times depends on where you are with me. And that ought to encourage us to want to be more deeply in communion with Him. I hope that makes sense. He goes on to say, however, when He, that is the Spirit of truth, has come, now notice this, He will guide you into all truth. Say this with me. The Holy Spirit will guide me into truth. What a promise from God for your life. The greatest asset you have for guidance in your life is the presence of the Holy Spirit within you and the Word of God that's been given you. Those two work together hand in hand. One authored the other. And wow, what a promise. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears from me, He will speak. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. If you read the verses that follows, Jesus basically says, you know, the Father speaks to me, and the Holy Spirit takes from me, and He's going to give it to you. We're invited into communion with the Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What an invitation. And we are assured the Holy Spirit will guide us. And Jesus is saying, Father and I and the Holy Spirit want to lead your life. Proverbs 14:12, we're told, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This cautions us to realize it may look right, but that don't mean it is right. There's a way that looks right to a man. We have to learn to discern, like last week about kingdom vision, is this how the Lord sees this, or is this how I'm seeing this? Remember Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father's in heaven. Peter was assured by Jesus, what you just heard about who I am, that came from the Father. Now go down a few verses. And Jesus says, I'm about to be delivered up. I'm going to die. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Jesus, this is the same Peter that he said, blessed are you, Peter. You just got this from Father. Now he's saying, get behind me, Satan. Same man, hearing from the Father, hearing from the devil. And if it can happen to old Pete, it can happen to Eddie, and it can happen to you, right? We have to discern. And you know what? Jesus went on to say, you're not desiring the things that be of God, but of men. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is basically saying in that scripture, sometimes the thinking of men is energized by the spirit of Satan. Because he rebuked Satan. He rebuked Satan when Peter uttered what men thought. So, it may look right, but the end may be death. Another scripture, James 1:5, I'm not quoting the whole scripture. I just want you to see this part. If any of you lacks wisdom, and if you're making a decision, wisdom's what you need, right? I need to know what to do here. Wisdom in biblical terms means you are seeing a situation like God sees it. You have God's perspective on something. So, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Here's another invitation. You know, if you in the spirit of dumb are struggling, Father says, ask me. I won't hold it back. I'll give you wisdom. So here's the final one, and I preached on this a number of Wednesday nights ago on this passage exclusively, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but, in contrast to that, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Again, Father assures you of His help in making the decisions in your life. We have that assurance. Now, whether we avail ourselves to that, sometimes we don't because we don't ask. This is the same chapter in James where He says, you have not because you ask not. Isn't that something? That's really amazing if you think about it. The Lord is saying, there's things I will give you. There's things I will do for you. There are ways I will help you that you're not going to receive, you're not going to get if you don't ask. You have not because you ask not. That ought to set you to praying right there. But don't ask amiss. So, now, I'm going to share with you five words of advice. First one is this. I'm going to say it, then I want you to say it. All right? First, look up. Look up.
Look up.
Look up. Okay. I'm going to keep this real simple. And when it comes to making decisions, your first step, and the rest of these are not necessarily in any order, but this one is predominant. Everything else builds on this one. Look up. That is, check in with God. Check in with God. If you like wisdom, let Him ask. Don't try to figure this out on your own. Don't lean that way. Just acknowledge me in this situation. Lord, what do you think about this? Sometimes it's simple. It's that simple. I've had times when I'm struggling about something, and it finally occurred to me, especially since I'm a pastor, I could ask God about this. And just simply saying, Lord, what do you think about this? And immediately, no. And it's usually the little simple things that trip us up. Things that we know we ought to do, but we don't do them. So look up, check in with God. I love the psalmist that said, I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Psalm 25, 4 and 5 that I have on the screen for you. I'm going to read the first part of it one way, and then I'm going to read it another way. All right? Because I think it's important where we put the emphasis. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Now let me read it a different way. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. And sometimes we think like the first way I read it instead of like the second way. The emphasis is for us to see the Lord's way in contrast to the way that we would see it without Him. Our natural understanding. Our own understanding. So it's important to understand that. So look up, check in with God. One of the greatest privileges we are afforded as believers is the opportunity to talk to God. That's what prayer means. You talk to God and then you listen for God to talk to you. It's spiritual communication. It takes place between you and your Heavenly Father. And it's important to realize this. So look up, check in with God. I read one man who said, if you look to an organization, you're going to get what that organization can do for you. If you look to education, you're going to get what education can do for you. But if you look to prayer, you'll get what God can do for you. And it's not that you can't get good things from those other ways, but when it comes down to it, an understanding that's beyond your own, that rests on the wisdom of God, comes from Him, you've got to look up. You've got to look up. It's an act of gratitude when you look up. It really is. You got a hog out there in a pen rooting for acorns and crunching, crunching, crunching as he finds them, but he'll never look up to see where they fell from. And some people live their lives that way. They'll enjoy all the wonderful things that comes and never look up and thank God for what they have. Look up. Now, some of you have heard the story I'm about to tell. A lot of you have not. But in 1997, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. I was pastoring a Baptist church. Had a great pastor. Loved the congregation. Still do. But God just began to move. I became desperate. I became hungry. I began to realize there's more to the Holy Spirit than I had experienced. And things started to happen. And I went through a major transition in my life concerning the Holy Spirit. I got baptized with the power of the Spirit. I started seeing things in the Spirit, started hearing the voice of the Lord much more clearly than I ever had before, and so forth. And it led me to a point where God, I had this desire that kept rising up that the Lord wanted me to step away from where I was pastoring and just step out there. And there wasn't defined. It was just like, let go of all this and trust God. And on paper, I had everything I thought I'd ever want in ministry, but the hunger and the desire. So one night, in the middle of the night, I was laying in bed, and I'm just praying, Lord, you know, and I'm you know, sometimes you're able to have conversations with the Lord. He knows what you think before you even say it. So it's best just to be transparent and honest and just blab it out there. And so I was having one of those moments. I said, Lord, I keep sensing you're wanting me to just leave all this behind and step out in faith and minister to the body of Christ and just go where you tell me to go and do what you tell me to do. And, you know, it wasn't making a lot of sense to me. And I said, but Lord, you know, we don't have a good car at this time. We wouldn't have a house to live in. Then I thought, we don't even have our own refrigerator. And we didn't. We lived in a parsonage and the appliance. We don't even own our own refrigerator. I thought, well, what could the Lord do about that, you know? And I heard just as clearly as I am talking to you right now, the Holy Spirit says, God is bigger than a refrigerator. I mean, I heard that. And I'm thinking, well, you got me there. And I said, well, Lord, and I went through these things, and it was just the same thing. It's like the Lord just assuring. And finally said, well, Lord, if this is you, I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll leave it all behind. I don't know where we'll live. I don't know what we'll get by on. I won't have my insurance. I'll lose the retirement that's coming in. But I'll walk away from it into what you have for me. I don't know what it is, but I'll do it, Lord. I just need to know, do you want me to stay or do you want me to step out? And I just lay there. This was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Lord, do you want me to stay or do you want me to step out? Do you want me to stay or do you want me to step out? And I heard the Holy Spirit say this, and this will tell you something about how much I have been changing. The Holy Spirit said, this is clearly, watch Joyce Meyer this morning and you'll get your answer. She was, still is, a woman Bible teacher, and I'd heard her on the radio. And I mean, well, I can't get into all of the background on that, but that was a big deal. Mickey and I had been getting up early, getting our coffee, turning it on, and because she just had some really good, solid, practical Bible teaching. Watch Joyce Meyer this morning, and you'll get your answer. Because I was laying there saying, Lord, you want me to stay, or you want me to step out? So I get up, I think it came on at 5:30, and I got up at 5:15, I got the coffee ready, I got Mickey up, and she didn't know any of this was going on. She's sitting on the couch, I'm sitting by her, I'm looking at her right now, sitting by Mickey, turn the TV on. Then, right at the beginning of her program, it would show a little blip of what the program was going to be about, and then it would scroll into the intro. So we're sitting there, drinking our coffee, turn the TV on. She comes on, and she does one of these numbers. God wants you to step out. I'm sitting there with my coffee. I lose it. I go, Mickey, she's like, my heavens, what's wrong with you? I said, you don't understand. I couldn't even get my breath. You don't understand. I just told the Lord, I'd leave all this. Tell you what, he wants us to step out. Was I not? I mean, I came unglued, and she's like, you know, because she wasn't at the same place that I was at. It was wild. But you know what? Soon as those words left that woman's mouth because of the prayer, I knew that was confirmed. I knew this old boy and his family was about to step out. And I didn't know when. I had enough sense to know, okay, Lord, there's a yes in my heart, we're going to do it. You tell me when. And that would come. That's another story. But just looking up and talking to God about it. Don't leave that out of your decisions, particularly these life-altering decisions that we sometimes make and we don't look up. Second, think back. Think back. Okay. You want to look up, then think back. I'm talking about learning the lessons from your past. Thinking about how God saw you through the last situation or the other time, that other big decision or choice. Think back. I'm not talking about dredging up sin. I'm not talking about getting back under condemnation or guilt. All that's taken care of. I'm talking about learning from your past history with God. And sometimes learning from those stupid things you did and those terrible choices you made. When I was 4 years old, I remember this just like it was 5 minutes ago. I was in my pajamas. We lived in a little five-room wooden house. Didn't have a bathroom in it. You had to go outside the little block house one way or down the path the other way. We did have a block house that we had a shower and stuff in. But I was playing on the floor in my pajamas about 4 years of age. I had a little screwdriver, and I was over there and I found an electrical outlet. And I stuck that screwdriver in that outlet. That's probably why my hair's still curly. It was a shocking experience. It really was. Now, I was 4 years old, and that was 63 years ago. Yeah, I know you can ask. 63 years ago. I ain't done that since. I learned me a lesson. I didn't want that to be repeated. And you have lessons like that too. And sometimes you need to think back. Now, what have I already learned in situations similar to this? You learn from your past. Notice 1 Samuel 17:37 tells us about David when he's about to go up against Goliath. You know what he does? He underscores what I'm telling you right now. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw. That's not like the opposite of your maw. He's talking about his paw. Okay. Delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What's David saying? You know what? The Lord's been preparing me. I remember when that lion came and when that bear came, and this Philistine will be no different. He learned, because everything you go through, whether it's a good choice or a bad choice, now hear this, whether it's the wise choices you made or those stupid ones, all of them are teachers. The trail behind you is a teacher. And we hear things like, experience is your best teacher. I wouldn't go that far. The Holy Spirit's your best teacher. But experience can be a great teacher in your life if you can receive the lesson that it teaches you. And sometimes we go through stuff and we don't process it. It's so painful. It hurts so bad. Now, all I want to do is just forget this. But there's a place, yes, get healed from the pain. But there's a place to process what you learned as a result of what you went through. That wrong choice you made. Or that wrong choice that brought so much havoc in your life that someone else made. That terrible thing that happened to you. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was somebody that did it on purpose. It's painful, but in your process in your life, what can you learn from that? God was faithful. It hurt deeply, but here I am. I survived. I learned that I don't want that to manifest in my life towards someone else. I want to pray that my family will be delivered. There's so many ways, so many lessons that we can learn that will help us instead of hinder us. Now, I know the Scripture tells us, Paul says, forgetting those things which are past, I press forward. But if you look in the context, he had formerly relied on his credentials. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, his bloodline, his pedigree. He says, that's just like a pile of dung compared to Christ. Now, I'm forgetting that. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. But Jesus tells the church, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I did for you. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. There's a ministry of remembrance of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he may remind you of something you went through because there's a lesson in it that's going to help you for what you're about to step into. Everything we go through as believers is part of preparation for what is to come. And so, in a way, we should try to milk everything out of it we can to be stronger for what's coming. Think back. Third word of advice, dial in. And here I'm talking about checking what's going on inside your own life against God's Word. Our feelings can fool us. I think emotions can be wonderful. I love the joy of the Lord that breaks out in this house sometimes. I love the sense of awe and the weeping that happens sometimes. I think emotions are ways that people's individuality can be expressed. Now, we shouldn't be led by our emotions. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes our emotions can do this to the Holy Spirit and take the wheel and run us into the ditch. And we have to guard against that. Notice that Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, our heart, and here he's talking about the fallen nature, because we're new creations in Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ. We've got a new heart. But he's talking about the influence of our fallen nature. When we start thinking apart from God, moving by emotion, letting our feelings be the engine of the train instead of the caboose, we get in trouble. And so we have to dial in. And again, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God helps us to stay, to keep it between the ditches, right? They're our protection. So, dial in. Check with your own heart. Now, let me tell you about two of my buddies I talk about sometimes, Roscoe and Boudreau. Roscoe, he done be at the house. Boudreau, he done been gone on the road. So Roscoe's listening to the radio, and he hears an announcement on the radio. All travelers be advised that on eastbound, I forget the name of the interstate, there is a westbound vehicle heading east on the interstate. So everyone beware, chaos is happening on the interstate. And Roscoe thinks, oh my goodness, Boudreau, he done be out there on that interstate. So he called on the phone. He said, Boudreau, he said, I done heard on that radio that there be some idiot out there. He done be going the wrong way. Boudreau, he said, Roscoe, they not just one of them. They thousands of them. Some of you will catch that by lunch tomorrow. But sometimes we can be so unaware of what's really driving us. Sometimes we can even think we're talking for the Lord and it not be the Lord. Just like Peter got into trouble. I think he was still riding high on that revelation he got. And the old man slipped in there and tricked him. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're told the Word of God helps us to discern our motives, why we are doing what we... You can be doing the right thing, but in the wrong way or for the wrong reason. doesn't mean something good can't come out of it, but you won't get rewarded for it. Or you can, at times, you may do the wrong thing, but have a good motive. And we really need the Holy Spirit's help and the Word of God as our guardrails to help us examine what's going on inside here when we're making decisions. I remember one of my buddies in seminary, and most of us in seminary, I mean, we were just barely scratching by. I mean, because you're working part-time, you're going to school full-time, and most of us, you know, it was really hard. I sold my gun collection, so, you know, Mickey had to pawn a ring, one of her rings one time. I mean, it was just really hard. And so a lot of that was going on. But he got up there, and they stopped at a new car lot one night, and his emotions got on him. He felt faith rise up. He went over there and laid hands on that car and claimed it in Jesus' name. Then he drove home with a payment. There ain't no way he could pay it. I don't think he kept it long. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't lead somebody to do that, but the proof's in the pudding. So our emotions sometimes can jump out beyond where we are. Now, there are times when God will require you to step out by faith, and it makes no sense. But you need the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You need a confirmation from the Word, and then you go with God. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. So dial in. Check in with yourself. The fourth bit of wisdom is zoom out. Say zoom out. Think about long term. Think about legacy when you're making particularly big decisions. What would your future self say about the choice you're about to make? How's it going to impact your children and your children's children? I know of people who've, and we've had to do it, leave what the world would call success behind to go where God said go. How are you defining success? Sometimes people will pursue a job at the expense of their marriage. But God knows all this ahead of time. And He can lead you in a way to make sure that when you make those decisions, you're making the right decisions and that you're making them at the right time and for the right reason. In the same way, the life of faith, He'll assure you that, hey, this is me. I'll take care of it. This is me. You don't have to worry. But zoom out. Get the big picture. What's it look like from 30,000 feet? What's it look like? What's going to be the result of your decision around the curve? How will it impact your children? I've talked to a number of people later in life just having heart-to-hearts to hear their regrets. I so wish that I'd spent more time at home instead of at the office. I wish I would have valued my family above all this stuff. And thank God for blessings. I'm not anti-blessings. But we better be pro-Jesus in every decision we make. Is this what you want, Lord Jesus? Is this what you want? Is this the way you want it? As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. So I'm talking about Spirit-led living. And a lot of times, impulse, the world can push you. The difference between a shepherd and a butcher. The shepherd leads you. He's going to take you to green pastures. You'll have no lack. The butcher, you're headed toward destruction. It might make other people happy, fatten them up, but at the expense of what's important to you. Holy Spirit leads us. The world pushes. The devil pushes. The devil manipulates. The devil dominates. The Holy Spirit leads. The Lord invites. Now, I'm not saying He can't light a fire on you for you to decide that you want to move in a different way than you were moving. That's just Him loving on you. He can bring the heat when He needs to. But zoom out. Notice this scripture in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That verse tells me that every day we need to have a heart that says, Lord, teach me today in a way that I'll be wiser because of how I've lived this day. Help me live this day well. Have you ever, in a moment of temper and anger, said something that you were still paying for a year later? Think of how, in that moment, if you could have learned the lesson to be temperate and patient, the pain that you could have been spared, the reroute that had to be taken because of that moment. Oh, Lord, teach us to live every day well, to learn your wisdom ways, to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit instead of reacting out of emotion and out of feelings, out of flesh. So important. And it helps sometimes to look back and remember, and then sometimes to look ahead and consider, what's that going to look like when I get there? That's when you do the tombstone test. When it comes time and your remains are placed under a tombstone, what's going to matter to you then? I guarantee you, eternity is going to mean a lot more to you than to a lot of people then than it does right now. We have to live in light of eternity. How am I investing my life? What's going to matter 100 years from now? What's going to matter 1,000 years from now? What's going to pay dividends long term? Zoom out. And we're called to have this kind of vision in Scripture. Think about what we're thinking about. Think it through. Consider the cost. And then the last one, the fifth word of advice, is simply ask around. Ask around. So we're going to look up, think back, dial in, zoom out, and ask around. In other words, seek godly counsel. It's really smart for us to learn lessons from other people's mistakes. I've got way too many stories of lessons I've learned from my own mistakes. But there's something about when you're younger, and I know those young people, listen to me for just a moment. I want you to dial in because I want to talk to you just a moment. This is my opinion. This is my testimony. I think older people, there'd be a number that would probably agree with me. A lot of times, when I think back in my teenage years, it's like, my parents don't understand me. These old folks just don't understand what it's like. Well, every old person you'll ever meet was a young person before they were an old person. That's just the truth. There's still a lot of foolish old folks. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise. There's plenty of foolish old folks, older folks. But we tend to, when we're young, too often, my mother and father would tell me things, and I'd hear it, but it'd be like a worm in a cornfield, in one ear and out the other. But there would come a time when, in the middle of dealing with my wrong choice, I'd remember what my dad and my mom had told me. Or I remember what the Sunday school teacher had tried to tell me. Or I'd remember what our coach told us and told us and told us and told us, but it fell on deaf ears. Or I remembered even my aunts and uncles. And I mean, when I grew up, it wasn't just daddy and mama that gave you a whipping. It wasn't a spanking, it was a whipping. And I'm not advocating the kind of whippings that I've received. But my aunts whipped me. My uncles. You know, my goodness, some days you wish you didn't have so many kinfolk. But when you're younger, we tend to like, well, we just determined we want to learn from our own. We're hard-headed. That's a condition of the human beings. But please try to take to heart. And I'm telling you to, and I'm grateful for the things I did receive, and no telling how much trouble I was kept out of. But far too often, if I had just heeded my father's voice, Listen to your parents. If you've got a godly mom and daddy, listen to them. Learn from their mistakes. The enemy wants you to think, well, they did it when they were young, so I'm going to do it too. That's the enemy. The Holy Spirit's learned from their mistakes. This is wisdom. The Bible says, if you hang out with wise men, you'll gain wisdom. But the companions of a fool end up in destruction. That's what the Bible says. Ask around. Seek godly counsel. There's people that you probably know that are going through what you're going through right now. It might be a little different. But they've been in a similar place, and they can tell you, sometimes they can tell you what they did, and they got through it. And most everyone that can tell you that, they can turn around and say, now here's three ways I tried it that didn't work and what it cost me. Because that's most of our stories. But it's smart to learn from other people's mistakes. Most of us have costly decisions we've made that affected our lives and the lives of other people. And I'm just appealing to us all this morning. Let's look up. Let's think back. Let's dial in, zoom out, and ask around. Look for godly counsel. And that means more than Google something. Here's the way Google works. Just put in a little information about how you would really like for it to be, and they can give you a way it can be that way. It may be the biggest lie you've ever heard. Don't trust that. Don't trust some guru you've never met. Don't even know if they know the Lord or not. The Word, the Spirit, godly people, godly parents, godly teachers, coaches, and so forth. There's a wealth of help for all of us. Thank God for trusted friends. Quite often, every month there's going to be several times where I call somebody, what you think about this? I want to run this by you. And I get those calls from those same friends. And I've just learned over time that they'll be honest with me. They'll tell me like it is. Hurt or feel good. And they'll do it in the right way. We all need people who can speak into our life. Godly counsel. Now I'm going to make a statement, and it's going to be a blanket statement, and it's going to cover every one of us. Ain't no one in here as smart as you think you are. I got a finger pointing at you and three back at me. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. He hears what we can't hear. He sees what we can't see. He's where we're not. He knows where we'll be. He knows what we need. And He says, I love you. I got a good plan for you. Call on me. Let me help. And yet we can be a hard-headed, stubborn lot and not do it. Stand with me. I've got a scripture I want to share with you in concluding. The worship team's coming. I'm going to put a scripture up here, and it's probably on a number of your refrigerators or on a plaque on a wall or on a calendar at your house. I love it. It's a word the Lord gave to Israel when they had been bad boys and girls. I mean, they had messed up big times. They had been in idolatry, all kind of perversion. I mean, it had gone dark in Israel. And the Lord has corrected them. I mean, they are in a big time season of being corrected. But then Daddy God has a word for them. Right here it is. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Some versions, plans to prosper you. Give you a future filled with hope. Are you hearing what he's saying? The people had been rebellious. In other words, they had made a lot of wrong decisions. Most of us can identify with that. But look what he's thinking about them. He's not saying, you know, good yellow-bellied, sap-sucking. He didn't go there. Here's what I'm thinking about you. The plans I have for you are good. I want my peace to be upon you. I want you to be filled with hope and encouragement. You know the verse that follows this? Most time that's not on the refrigerator with it. It's like the Lord saying, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm thinking about you. Then he says this in the next verse. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. He goes on to say, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart. Put this together. I got some good plans for you. Oh, I want to bless you. Come, let's talk about it. Come and talk to me. Pray to me. You'll find me. You'll find what you're looking for. You want to see these promises fulfilled in your life? Come, let's talk. That's Father God's heart toward each and every one of us. So if you're here this morning and you've got behind you a bunch of wrong decisions, you may be standing and dealing with the consequences of a big one right now. That's still his thoughts toward you. He forgives. He restores. He wants you to have hope. He doesn't want you to be depressed, overwhelmed, sucked under by the circumstances you're in. He wants you to know how much he loves you, and he invites you to receive from him. What say you? Your decisions, maybe the decision you make this morning can change the trajectory of your future. A course redirect for you this morning, just talking to God about this. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come right now quickly. They're going to be here to pray with those of you who come. I'm about to pray a prayer over our congregation. And then as soon as I say amen, this worship team's going to begin singing. And then those of you that need prayer, you're going to come. Maybe you're here without Christ. Come, let them pray with you about that. Maybe you think, well, I've got a decision to make about baptism. I'm making it today. I'm going to be baptized. Or the Lord's leading me to become a part of what God's doing here at Grace House. This is where I want to plug in. This is where I want to belong. It could be a decision about a relationship, about your finances, about your health. It could be 1,000 different things, but I'm telling you, with Jesus at your foundation, he wants to be involved in whatever it is. Come to him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray your spirit would begin to hover and stir over everyone's heart in the room. I pray that our hearts would be open and there would be a yes for you, Jesus. I pray that people that haven't been asking would start asking right now. If they haven't been seeking, they'd start seeking right now. If they haven't talked to you about it, Lord, that right now would be the time when they initiate that conversation. And I pray, oh God, that your spirit would move powerfully and bring healing. Break off of us the trauma from the past, the consequences and the guilt and the despair and the regret that the enemy may torment or taunt us with. May that be broken away today in Jesus' name. And may peace come. May hope arise. And may joy spring forth, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, would you come right now? Just step out from where you are. There are people here to pray with you. They will love on you. I believe God will love on you, and he will be your help. Just for some moments here, step out from where you are as we sing.
I am the Lord your God.
Come.
I go before you.
Are there others? Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your courage. Are there others who need to come? Come right now.
I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far, I'm closer than you.
Let the Lord help you. Call upon him. Are there others? This could be a moment that shapes your future, your destiny. A moment when things are set right. A moment when burdens are rolled away. Would you come?
Come to me. I'm all.
Are there others? As ministry continues here, I encourage you to come back on Wednesday night. I have a message about people dealing with loneliness. I think it can be a help for people. Please make plans to be back next weekend for Dave Nolan. It's going to be really powerful. And particularly if you have friends that are in business or have that entrepreneurial anointing on their life, I encourage you to make sure they're here next Sunday evening particularly. God bless you. May His grace rule and reign in your life. May your light shine brightly for Jesus. Now let's go forth and make godly decisions and honor our Lord in everything we do. Thank you for being here today. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank you. And let's honor what He's doing here in the altar area. God bless you.